Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord says these wonderful words, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Jesus saw the hypocritical attempt to trap him coming from a mile away, of course. The Pharisees and the Herodians who came to Jesus were teachers of the law and members of Herod's pseudo-puppet government. They were all under the thumb of the Roman authorities, whether they liked it or not. The civil power was Rome, the most almighty and encompassing empire to that time in the history of all civilization. The Jews resented Rome's power over their land. Rome's soldiers and governors and emperors were uncircumcised Gentile barbarians. Rome's emperor claimed to be divine of himself. So these Pharisees and Herodians knew that no teacher of God's word could bow before Rome. On the other hand, if someone spoke out against Rome, as we know, Rome had their own nice barbaric way of handling treason to the emperor. So they ask Jesus to choose between the two. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? If Jesus says no, he can go to the cross. If he says yes, he will lose his standing with the people who hang on his teaching and preaching, who believe him to be a prophet come from God. Jesus sees their hypocrisy, for he knows that in their own pockets are Roman coins, the denarius, minted by Caesar with his pseudo-divine image upon it, even inscribed with words proclaiming the Caesar's divinity. They were carrying in their pocket an idol god, so to speak, and that coin was the one that they had to use to pay their Roman taxes. I would hope that you could see and imagine the humiliation of the Pharisees and the Herodians as they dig the coin out of their pocket. They had their own hypocrisy in their hand. They indeed do pay taxes, showing honor to Caesar. As much as they hate it, and as much as it contradicts their religious convictions. Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. It is perfect, as usual, from our lectionary, that we consider this text today. At long last, I think, on Tuesday, the elections will move forward, and the never-ending commercials for the politicians, especially for our two United States Senate candidates, will at last come to an end. Of course, maybe we've all stopped watching television. Jesus teaches us that there is a difference between spiritual authority and civil authority. The authority of the church, of which Jesus is the head, is different than the authority of the state. The church brings the forgiveness of sins to all who repent and believe the gospel. The civil authority is given by God as a gift to all of us to order society by rewarding the good and punishing the evil, the wicked. Now, the civil authorities may or may not be devoted followers of Christ. Our congressional district, it just so happens that we have a fellow Missouri Synod Lutheran, Dr. Bushon, as our representative to Washington. I don't know if you all knew that or not. But others, clearly, as we see on the news every day, are not Christians. Whether they are or not, we are to give them what we owe them. St. Paul writes this, Romans 13, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. But if you, for he is God's minister for you, to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." You can hear our Lord's words from the gospel echoing there in the words of the apostle. And then the apostle Peter writes this, 1 Peter chapter 2, "Therefore," he says, "submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." When we obey the civil authorities, we obey God. That puts a different spin on following the speed limit, doesn't it? Caesar is God's servant, whether he knows it or not. The fourth commandment tells us to honor our father and our mother. It also tells us to honor these civil authorities that God has established. God keeps order in the world this way. God protects you this way through these authorities. God keeps order in the world by punishing criminals. He gives governments the authority of the sword. Capital punishment is ordained by God. Genesis 9, verse 6, where we read, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." Anarchy is not only rebellion against the government, it is rebellion against God. The doctrine of so-called civil disobedience is a false one. We do not have the right to disobey the government just because it is unfair. We have the right and the duty to disobey it if by obeying it we would be disobeying God directly. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Caesar may be incompetent. Caesar may be unjust. Caesar may be very corrupt. Caesar may be the most wicked person you could imagine. This does not give us the right to disobey him out of hand. It rather lays on us the responsibility to pray for him. St. Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." 1 Timothy 2. During the First World War, anti-German sentiment in America rose to a fever pitch. The governing authorities in many places, and probably here in Terre Haute, were not too helpful. Many pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod suffered persecution because of their German language and heritage. Lutheran pastors in various places were tarred and feathered and driven out of town by so-called patriotic Americans. The pastors had spoken and ministered in German, and that was enough. The fathers of this congregation felt the pressure, and so outside on Poplar Street, they covered up the German inscription on the cornerstone facing Poplar. Pastor Heinrich Kott, our longest-serving pastor, a German-speaking pastor who had only ever ministered in German and who was getting sickly and was about to die, it turns out, wrote a long article for the Terre Haute English language newspaper extolling how patriotic and supportive of the war effort against the Kaiser that Emmanuel was. "We bought more war bonds," he wrote, "than anyone in town." Anything to stave off persecution. Not God's kingdom. No earthly state is. The whole point of telling you all this is that our trust should not be in those things. Our trust should not be in shows of patriotism or national pride, nor even in the military or in law and order. We pray for those to be good blessings for our common good, but we can trust that God, who created both church and state, works even through sinful governments, even when they permit persecution of the church. For we should remember most of all that God used the power of Caesar himself to bring about the birth of our Savior in Bethlehem, as was foretold. And he used the power of Caesar for the very salvation of the world from sin and death upon Calvary's cross. Christians living in America have historically enjoyed protection from the state to practice our religion. In recent years, though, we see it. Christian businessmen are driven out of business for refusing to honor perverted unions as marriage. Christians who confess their faith in the public square are mocked and ridiculed. It is time for Christians to consider the examples of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. We will give to Caesar what is our due, but we will not do so at the expense of giving to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God? What belongs to God? Your hearts, your affections, your lives, and your faith. We pay our taxes to Caesar, we honor him as God's servant, and we obey his laws, but we do not put our faith in him. Our faith is in him who suffered the worst miscarriage of justice in the history of the world, him who was put to death by one of Caesar's governors immediately after that same man had pronounced him to be innocent, he who was hated and despised by religious and civil authorities alike, being falsely accused of challenging the authority of both. By his death, he removed us from the slavery to sin, the fear of death, and the lies of the devil. He is our Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He alone is Lord. We honor Caesar for Jesus' sake, not Caesar's. The risen and ascended ruler of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sins away on the cross, and who by his Spirit graciously rules over us in his church, richly and daily forgiving us all our sins, guarantees that his church will remain even when every kingdom of this world has been reduced down to dust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.